Whipper.
Happy Hump Day, podcasters. It's Fitzy and Whipper here. Big show coming up.
Huge show.
Because Guy Sebastian's coming on the show. We thought we'd just request Carol, and he has to just reel off lyrics. 5 seconds he's got, and then we go straight to another Carol.
That's a good idea. Tommy's not here at the moment, but Josiah's wandered in and yelled out, can I do word of the day?
Can I?
What word have you got, mate?
The word of the day is quinquennium.
Quinquennium.
What does that mean?
It's a period of 5 years.
Oh, God, I remember catching up with that guy about quinquennium ago. Quinquennium ago.
Quinquennium.
See you in quinquennium.
That is tough.
How long
so
ago
So I've
was
been
that?
Seeing her for quinquennium years.
I've been working on this show for a quinquennium.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
And you're still getting it wrong.
I thought a quinella was two.
But a quintuplets are five.
In quinella, oh no, 5 years. What's coming up in 5 years?
Stuff. Let's move on to the show this morning. This is a great story because does anyone really go to the library these days? We go for Ted. We borrow books from the library. But I don't think the average man really uses a library maybe as much as you used to. Although they can do DVDs now.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get a DVD.
Audio books.
You've just said twice, no one goes, and then listed two examples of people that go.
No, but I'm saying that the average man doesn't go anymore. Kids might go, Matty DeGroote.
You're right.
Study classes might go if you're part of some sort of group. But the average bloke on his weekend doesn't wander into it. I have spoken.
I get the point.
How's this? The Caringbah Library. It's received a book which has been returned after 40 years and 10 months and 19 days.
Good effort. That's really good.
I mean, I don't know why they took it back.
Well, they've obviously found it up in the attic somewhere. Yeah.
The book was Apple to the Core, The Unmaking of the Beatles, which was borrowed from the library on the 16th of November 1975. It's been out for 14,934 days.
That's a good effort. Well, I can't remember back in the old days with the library if you're overdue and you took it back. Did they take away your pass?
No.
And you got fined.
Yeah, they used to fine you, but fines came in late. It was a bit of just a shaming. And they would send you notes in the post, these weird printout notes saying your book is this many days overdue. What a waste.
Last time I was at a library, I told you this story not long ago.
They said, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I was year 12.
Go and to the kids section.
I went up and said, have you got Shakespeare's Helmet on audiobook? Because I didn't want to read it. And they said, Helmet? And I went, yeah, just in the audio. Put it in the ears so I don't have to read the book. And they went, do you mean Shakespeare's Hamlet? I went, either way. Hamlet or Helmet? I'll take either. Like, it was just the most embarrassing moment. What an idiot. Not only did he want the audio book, he didn't know the name of the book.
Possibly one of Shakespeare's most famous.
My favourite Shakespearean novel.
The only one you've read, I'm sure.
All of them. The fine for this guy for 14,934 days is $7,467. I mean, wouldn't they just say, hey, for returning the book, thanks, guys?
If it was signed by the Beatles, you could probably sell it off.
Well, that's true. You know, when it comes to returning things, I reckon the only thing I've got which I've never returned to a friend which I borrowed would be a pair of footy boots from Gary.
Oh, really?
Never returned them.
Didn't you?
Because I think they're worth a bit of money and I didn't want Gary to ask for them back and he's never bought them up.
Well, he's not playing much footy these days, so
I reckon
you can keep
They're Ben Cousins footy boots.
Are they?
Yeah. I got them for the charity game that we did.
That's right.
Years ago. But I always knew that he had them. So when I
rang him. Well, how did he get them off Ben Cousins?
Because there was a guy who worked for the West Coast Eagles when Ben was still playing. And this guy got sacked from the West Coast Eagles. And he thought, stuff it. I'm going to storm out of here and take what I want. Went down to the change rooms and nicked Ben Cousins' footy boots and walked out the door.
Oh, so
and then somehow Gary ended up with them. And then I took them from Gary.
These boots just sound like that anyone that comes across their possession becomes evil.
Becomes a disaster.
You've got Ben Cousins who unfortunately has had a tragic life.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's left his boots downstairs and someone's decided to steal them. And then your mess has come along and swiped them as well and not returning them.
Katie in Castle Hill, welcome to the show. How long was it that you borrowed something for?
I've had my ex's eyebrow pencil for about 2 years.
You've had your what, Katie?
Eyebrow pencil.
No, my ex's sister.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sure. Different, Katie.
I'm thinking, did you go out with Napoleon Purtis or something, did you?
So are you going to return it, Katie, or what?
I'm literally
literally on my way to return it now. Well, that's he messaged me yesterday. He's going to Hawaii, so.
Oh, well, there
eyebrow
you go.
Pencil. You probably let that one through to the people, wouldn't you?
How much is an eyebrow pencil, Sam?
$8?
Yeah, you've mistaken me
Katie,
for someone
who cares. Would she like a pair of Ben Cousins boots? Because we can give you those as well.
We can sort that out for you, Katie.
Good on you.
All right, just returning an eyebrow pencil.
If you borrow something, and the venue then shuts, for example, I borrowed BMX Bandits in 1994, and the video store is gone.
Yeah.
Do I get to keep it?
Be nice if you got onto the.
Well, yeah, definitely.
How are you watching it anyway on VHS?
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of sits there. I get that.
Do you know,
but...
and to get it converted from VHS to DVD onto a USB is actually quite expensive these days. It's like $20.
When did you last try to do that? Well, who tries to do that?
People are still doing it, mate.
Are they?
Yeah. If you've got
like a home video.
Home videos of families growing up on VHS and you want to get it converted, it's like $20 a video. Yeah. For one video.
It's not that much.
For a life of memory, 20. No.
20
no.
bucks.
But see, you might have 50 home videos.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Times 50 by 20. I'm busy now, but you do the math.
This is fascinating. And you know what? I'm fascinated by it, but I've never really visited a prison before. You know how you can do tours of prisons?
Yeah, I've done a couple.
I want to do this. I'm fascinated by it. And one book that I have read is Marching Powder, which is in Bolivia, San Pedro prison, where you can get a tour. You've got to pay money. You can get a tour of an actual prison. The prisoners take you through it, show you prison, and they show you how they make drugs.
Well, they run it like a community, don't they?
It's unbelievable. Mm. Well, that's how they get money, and then they can, you know, prosper and get further up in the chain in the hotel. But it's become such a big business around the world now that prisons are actually closing it down and they're turning them into luxury resorts.
Well, there's accommodation. Your room's going to be small, but there's definitely a chance to get a bed.
There's another one, Pianosa Prison Island. And if you've ever been to a prison, 13, 24, 10, I'd love to hear from anyone who's ever done a tour of a prison, especially with prisoners still in it. This is in Tuscany, right? And this was an old one. The island, dubbed the Silent Isle or Donkey Isle due to the animals that inhabit it, used to be a quarantine hell where criminals, mafiosa and people sick with leprosy were locked up and confined until a few decades ago, and they've turned it into this really cozy hotel where windowless rooms still feature original wooden cell doors shut by lockers and identified with big painted numbers.
Would you want that? I mean, when you're booking in, I mean, it would have the feel, I would think, of an F1, would it?
Small
rooms, not
and
a lot of offer.
Thick walls.
Thick walls.
That feeling like it's a bit closed in on you.
Cold,
yeah,
damp.
Cold.
I went to the tour of the old Melbourne jail once. Ned Kelly, that's where he was hung.
Oh, God.
And
yeah,
it's quite interesting because they show where he was hung and they show the piece of timber which still exists and the rules of the hanging and how it would work back then, where if you were hung and it didn't kill you within three goes, you were let off.
Oh,
and you went back to your cell.
Three goes. As in drop you three
usually,
times.
Doesn't it break your neck, though?
Breaks your neck, and that's why the knot is to the side. But they'll weigh you to see and measure the distance of the rope for that slack. But I also went to a prison in Perth, right?
Mm.
And how's this? The guy that I was taught, this is for radio purposes and the idea of, you know, understanding what prison life was like. And I spoke to this guy and I said, what's the toughest part about being in here? And this guy's, well, he's getting out this year actually, but it was his second stint in jail for armed robbery. And he said, the worst part about being in here is the 12 hours I do in my cell each day, knowing that the cop that put me behind bars has taken off with my wife.
Now that's
a bad day.
Mumbles has given us a call. Good morning, Mumbles.
Mumbles.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Which one did you go to, big fella?
Man, I went to the Bolivian one. I went to San Pedro.
Okay, so Rusty Young wrote this book, and apparently a movie's coming out. Brad Pitt's bought the rights or something like that. But what was it like, Mumbles?
I went to see my uncle. My uncle was in prison there.
What was he in there for?
Mate, I honestly don't know. And some questions I just don't ask. I was about probably 9 years old, 10 years old when I went there the first time.
Wow.
But I've been back maybe five more times.
Yeah.
What surprised you about the place, Mumbles?
Mate, it's like a community. It's like a big shopping center / hotel.
So
everyone's working. There's little kids open freely with the prisoners.
Yeah.
So there's little kids playing like next to a prisoner doing life.
Wow. So and
there's, like, there's people selling things and just crazy.
They make, do they still make, because in the book, they actually made cocaine and they sold cocaine on the outside to get more money in the prison. Do they still do that, Mumbles?
I wouldn't know anything about that. What is cocaine?
Right, okay. All right, all right.
No. I didn't see it, and I didn't see it. Probably not openly, but it would still happen. I presumably it would.
Hey, Mumbles, also in the book, there was a pit. There was a big pit in the middle of the jail, and if there was anyone that did anything wrong or did anything wrong with the kids or anything like that, they were thrown into the pit. Is that still there?
I honestly didn't see that.
Right, okay.
Wow.
I went to the front, and it's, like, pretty informal. Like, you just literally can almost just walking off the street and be like, yeah, I feel like visiting the jail today. Or you can even go things off the street to buy.
So thanks,
they're, like, clothing, they make leather goods, they even do, like, little restaurants there. You just go off the street, walk in, and just chill out pretty much.
Wow. Thanks, Mumbles.
In a prison.
We don't get enough mafia on the show. I appreciate it, Mumbles.
Dan in Lower Portland, you used to work at one, Dan.
Fitz and Whipper, how you doing, boys?
Yeah, good buddy. Damn. Which one?
Yeah, see, I've worked throughout all of New South Wales prisons as an electrician, so that's pretty scary as an apprentice. Especially when you're walking around with a tool belt full of tools.
Oh, wow. Do you have to have security with you the whole time, Dan?
So it's sort of different. In a prison, the security is not really security. They're really just a chauffeur just to show you where to go. So they don't have any weapons or anything to protect you. So you're pretty much by yourself, you and your screwdrivers, and you got all these peeping eyes looking at you.
Do they talk to you, Dan? Do they want to hear stuff from you?
They do talk to you because to change lights and fix lights and stuff while they're having showers and they're whistling at you and talking dirty. It's kind of weird, yeah.
Because it's fascinating too, because often you'll see, you know, the homemade shanks that they've found in there before. And the prison that I went to in WA, the prisoners had started making homebrew in the pipes that had been put in place as a watering system for the garden.
They use old fruit, don't they? Just do rotting fruit that turns into alcohol.
Fermenting it. It's fascinating stuff.
Love
prison chat.
We always love getting this man on. Time Machine. His new book is available now. A good mate of ours, Adam Spencer. Welcome to the show.
How are we this morning, gentlemen?
Spence, if you had a time machine, I mean, firstly, would you go forward or back?
Well, it's great, isn't it? We think we can possibly even go forward with technology. If I hopped in a spaceship now and went at almost the speed of light, and I came back 50 years later for you, I would only have aged 1 year. That's Einstein's theory of relativity. You don't need me to explain that to you. So right. You sort of can travel. We don't think we can travel back, and here's a great reason why. You know Stephen Hawking, the famous physicist in the wheelchair?
Sure, yeah. Yep.
A little while ago, he sent out invitations for his time travel party. He said, throwing a time travel party, if you've discovered time travel, come to my party. It's being held 1 year ago today.
Love it.
And he instantly said, the fact that no one had turned up 1 year ago means we're never going to discover time travel, because anyone who discovers time travel wants to party with the hawk.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have been there. You wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Exactly. So we'll probably never get to it, because no one came back to Stephen Hawking's party that he threw a year before he sent out the invite.
That's funny.
Well, Spence, you know, and you know my illustrious AFL career, and when I was at the Sydney Swans, which were the number one ticket holder for, I was number 18. I played 18 games. What's so special about the number 18?
Oh, it's a beautiful number, 18. But, of course, if you break it down on its prime decomposition, it's 2 lots of 9, which is 2 lots of 3 squared. That in itself is pretty cute, yeah?
That's great. I mean, the great thing about modern-day technology is you can go back via YouTube and watch the great Ryan Fitzgerald kick 5 on debut. I do it every afternoon, Spence. Lucky I've got enough time.
Spence, there's a whisper going around as well. When our show is on in the car, because the kids, when you're dropping off to school, they listen to the show sometimes. Is it true that your favourite segment on the show is Letters to the Editor when you hear Whipper and I consistently stuff up?
I love nothing more. Having done a bit of breakfast radio myself, I just love the moment. I love the poise. I love the here it is. It's your stage. It's like kicking for goal on debut. It's you directly in front. You've trained all your life for this.
Yeah.
I love it.
You've stuck it out on the fault.
I love it. And I love seeing you in that spinning gyre of doubt. As long as I don't think about getting this wrong, everything's going to be fine. As long as I don't think about getting it wrong, even by saying don't think about getting it wrong, I'm thinking about getting it.
I'm gone.
Do you know, I recently did a debate for the Sydney Swans with Spence, and you don't think I was high-fiving when I found out that he was on my team?
To say it, Spence. Go for it. You do the talking.
Because were you...
It's fair to say as a team, we built that day.
We did. Were you a debating champion in school as well, Spence?
When I was at university, my time was evenly split between a PhD in pure mathematics and world debating championships, or as I like to say... Hello, lady. Oh, darling, got much sexier than the Spence circa 1996, my friend. Don't you worry.
If you had the time machine, you'd go back then, Spence.
Wow. The hot dub time machine. That's what it was.
Take a number, girls.
Oh, that is brilliant. Spence, cannot wait to read this time machine. It is available now. Always appreciate your time, big fella. Thanks for coming on.
If your listeners go to adamspencer.com.au, they will get a signed copy in time for Christmas. That website again, adamspencer.com.au. Love to speak with you, boys.
Done. Thanks,
you're a
mate.
Gun. Thanks.
A bit of a shout out to my wife this morning. And I don't want to drag her name through the mud, but she's not. I see the meals that roll in that you bring in from the leftovers, mate, and your dishes look amazing. And I've got into a habit at home at the moment with whatever Lisa cooks, just covering it in tomato sauce.
Oh, no.
And she's only just started to realise that maybe I find her cooking boring because every time I go, oh, can I put sauce on that? We had flathead last night, but she wouldn't allow me to put any garlic in the pan or tubs of butter like I normally would. No crumbs. So what did I do? Tomato sauce everywhere.
Not on fish.
Everywhere.
Broccoli by itself. Yeah, but, I mean, don't get me wrong. Wait, get the green factor.
You can just still... You can eat fish. You can eat... A flathead would be beautiful just to fill it grilled, wouldn't it?
Not the way it was cooked last night, mate.
Oh, no.
Everything that's been served recently, carrots, bang, tomato sauce.
How is she doing it? Steamed or something?
Steamed, mate.
Yeah, right.
It's just...
It's so healthy.
I wonder when she's going to realise that if I'm just covering it on with sauce, I'm trying to add flavour.
What Tommy sauce do you use?
I don't know which one it is, to Fountain? Be honest.
No.
Could be Fountain.
I've got onto this spicy red sauce from Fountain. It's not too spicy, but it's really nice.
Fridge or cupboard?
I put it in the cupboard.
Yeah, right.
Aren't they all supposed to go in the fridge?
Yeah, well, that's the other great debate. And they are once you've opened them, Seb, but yeah. I hate cold sauce. So we now have two sauces at home. So Lisa will have the one from the fridge and I have the one in the cupboard the way
What's
I
the
want
sound
it.
It makes when it comes out?
Right. Yeah. Straight onto the carrots. I'll put that everywhere, Seb.
Carrots? No, man. At least make some gravy. You can get those in little instant gravies.
Huh?
Come on.
Well, that's,
do you know what?
Well,
Fasnich,
tell Lisa that, mate.
Matt Moran, Donna Hay, Colin Fasnich will be listening to all of us now going, you pigs, what are you doing? Using tomato sauce and instant gravies?
Nothing wrong with that. I just love it.
Apologies.
2 minute noodles, fish fingers, love it all. Send them in.
Oh.
2 minute noodles, that's when you know you're really struggling with life.
You know what I put on the tops there?
Do you know what, though? Because the boys are eating 2 minute noodles, and I know they're high in salt,
great,
which is
great.
They are so yummy.
Well, you forget, don't you?
You do.
I went on a diet one time,
and
I did lose weight, believe it or not, but I was swimming a bit as well.
Not.
And it was just 2 minute noodles and a Diet Coke.
Mm.
That's not a diet.
Do you know what this story is?
What?
Awful.
Well, it was good to see the Aussies bounce back against South Africa and knock them off at the Adelaide Test. We now go to the Gabba on the 15th of December to play against Pakistan in a 3-test series. And our Australian cricket captain, who is doing very well at the moment, is joining us right now. Steve Smith, welcome
Steve,
to the show,
Smithy.
Mate.
How are you, Jen?
Now, Smithy, apparently you're out at Blowfly Cricket Club at the moment in Hornsby, is that correct?
I am, yes.
What are you doing out there, big fella?
So the Blowfly Cricket Club has been awarded a Combank Cricket Club sponsorship. So
great.
I'm out here handing them their cheque of $2,000, as well as some gear that they need for practice and in their games. So yeah, it's nice to be out here. There's plenty of blowflies flying around as well.
this is a great initiative. I love this. And if there's any local club out there, if you want to apply for a sponsorship and you may get the chance of seeing Steve Smith at your club, you need to head to combank.com.au/cricket and you might get a little sponsorship like this. This is great feeding it back to the society. Well done, Smithy.
What's the talent like there, mate?
Thanks, Fitzy. There's a few young kids floating around here. They're just out having a bit of a bat and a bowl at the moment. So when I'm done with you guys here, I'm going to go run a few drills with them, which would be nice. Yeah, nice.
What was your junior footy, junior cricket club growing up, Steve?
It was Illawong Menai Cricket Club.
Yeah, right.
And I'd say if I wasn't playing for Australia, I'd probably be back playing there still.
Yep. Well, Steve, you know, with the success you've had, you know, in your career, has Menai High School, where you went, have they got you back there to say a few words? Like, how often do you get a phone call and say, mate, could you drop into assembly for us?
I haven't been back to the school for quite a while, but you never know, maybe sometime soon.
No, they don't care.
Do you know what? There's some young blokes in your cricket side at the moment that are doing very well. Matty Renshaw, Peter Hanscom and Nick Maddinson are in there now. These young blokes, I mean, it was just great to see that you got a win. How have they been presented to the team, mate? Are they enjoying their time so far, Steve?
Yeah, they did. They had a great week and, you know, I was really pleased for them. I thought, you know, obviously spent a little bit of time with Matty Renshaw the other day out in the middle. You know, it was great to see him just bat with a smile on his face and enjoy it. You know, he got beaten quite a lot, but he'd just laugh every time the ball went past him. It didn't faze him and, you know, he just kept playing the line of the ball and he got on with it. So I think he showed some great composure. And Petey Hanscom, I thought, played beautifully in the first innings and took a great catch as well. So, yeah, the guys did a good job. Matto got a pretty good one from Rabada.
Yeah, so that was a beauty.
You don't need that on debut, but that's okay. The guys did a great job and it was great to finally get a win.
Any initiations in the Australian cricket side these days, Steve, when you come into the side? Do the boys have to earn their stripes or did you get any initiations when you first went in?
Not really. Obviously, you get your baggy green cap. That's a pretty big initiation. Other than that, I think it's about trying to make the guys feel as comfortable as they can, as quickly as they can. And I think if you're that way and you're relaxed, then you can go out and play your best cricket. And I thought the guys got into the environment well and, played a good game last week.
Steve, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here, but your new place that you're moving into, I assume you didn't realise Fitzy was just around the corner or you wouldn't have done it.
I'm not moving into it, actually.
Good.
But, yeah, I knew that Fitzy was around the corner.
Yep. And that's why you bought it and then decided to move out.
I've already organised a Christmas party, a barbecue at your joint, Steve.
All right. Nice. That'd be good.
Stay away would be my tip, mate. Get out of there.
Well, all right, for anyone else out there, if you want to apply for a sponsorship, like we said, go to combank.com.au/cricket and you can get any of the Australian cricket players to come out to your club and also get some money, much-needed money for your club. We appreciate your time, Smithy. We know how busy you are and good luck for the three tests against Pakistan, big fella.
Thanks, guys.
Fitzy and Whippers.
It's F-word Christmas, B-word.
Office Christmas Party. Confessions. The hilarious new movie, Office Christmas Party, starring Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston, in cinemas from December 8th. Party like your job depends on it.
You know when you got a bit of a tightwad boss? Is when they chuck the Christmas party on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yeah. How annoying is that?
Because they know everyone has to work again the next day.
Yep. Do you know what my dad did one time? He was boss at a company. And
warehouse sales?
And he decided to send out an email in June saying who's interested in the Christmas party this coming December. And then no one really replied to the email.
Yeah, because it's June. You don't care.
And then Christmas came and they went, where's the Christmas party? And he said, well, I sent out an email getting interest and no one replied. So don't worry about it.
No, that's fair enough in essence.
Yeah, and
people can respond.
And the year prior to, someone else threw one of the warehouse workers through a wall.
Oh.
He wasn't happy about that either.
Well, because they weren't getting a cheap price on a Palsonic.
On a DVD player. They're overpriced.
Oh, all right. We need your Christmas party confessions, and we could hook you up with $1,000. Nathan in Glebe, what happened to you, Nath?
Oh, hey, morning, guys. So my Christmas party was 2 weeks ago on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Started the boss's place at 7:30, had to drive out to Penrith whitewater rafting.
Oh, great. Oh, good. That's all right.
There was Yeah, it was great. Like, there was about 10 of us or so, two crews, jump in the white water, go around a couple of times, couple of us fall off, decide to go surfing where you just split in the middle just down a rapid.
Yeah.
All the boys have rushed to the side to get everyone to topple over. I've gone under, held onto the boat, fell under the boat, grabbed back on. Once I got out of the water, no boardies, no boxes.
Oh, completely stuck.
Got your own paddle out, did you?
That's supposed how you. That's how you're supposed to end up at the end of a Christmas party,
yeah,
I think.
Not the start of it. No, thanks for your call.
Tamara from Picnic Point, what happened to you, Tam?
Hi, I was on a Christmas party cruise a couple of years ago and I was wearing a leotard and high-waisted shorts.
Yep.
And I got really drunk and decided to dirty dance and casually unbutton my shorts and pull them down and do like a sexy dance in front of the boss and a few other people.
Like it,
totally didn't remember doing it until Monday morning when I walked in and everyone was like, wow, what did you get up to on Friday night?
See, that's when you have to retrace your steps. That's a tough one.
When you watch footage of yourself doing something you can't remember.
Well, Tommy, there's footage of Tommy dancing at our Christmas party
as
Friday.
As he just mouths, oh, for F's sake.
Well, that which is horrible, Tom.
No, I've been getting some interesting feedback from people around the office on my dancing.
Yeah, what did your wife say? Did she see the footage? I think I sent her some.
Yeah, you did send her footage. Yeah. Thank you for that, yes.
God, everyone was drinking beer and wine.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Tom was drinking mushrooms by the
look
of it.
By the look of it, was that wild headband
God,
that you had on,
the dancing
too.
That you were doing. Mitch on the Central Coast, what happened to you?
Hey, boys. It was my first ever Christmas party, and I decided to drink way too much champagne. Mm-hmm. And we got on the bus on the way into the city, and on the bus in front of me was sitting my director and manager, and I've decided to power vomit all over.
Mitch, I'm very proud of you to start with. I'd pay so much money to be there to see that moment.
Because Mitch, can I just say as well, Mitch sounds like a bloke,
doesn't he?
Who'd have one champagne and would powers
be anyone. Mitch, I've seen at a Christmas party, right? This is a while ago, I saw a girl, she was so drunk and the guy leant in to kiss her and they're kissing for about 5 seconds until she vomited in his mouth.
Okay, mate.
No.
Okay, you didn't. Okay, mate.
Oh, you're better than that.
Cameron from Penrith, what's your confession, Cam?
All the boys went back to the yard for a few drinks before we moved on to the Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We all decided to move on to the pub.
Of course you did.
The boys left. I went back upstairs to get my stuff.
Yeah.
The boss was still upstairs.
Yeah.
She called me in having a few more drinks with her.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
One thing led to another.
What?
Slept with the boss.
Wooshka.
Oh.
Hey?
I don't believe anything you're saying.
Really? No, that's don't good. No, you've got to give Cameron the benefit of the doubt.
Do not believe one word
Cameron,
that came out of his mouth.
You hooked up with the boss upstairs at the pub.
Yep. No, in the yard.
And what was the fallout?
You're
right, Rosie.
Move on, Ken. He's had a bit of a grab at the 1,000, and it hasn't worked.
Johnny, it doesn't matter. I was enjoying the story.
All his labourer mates are in him going, we go to the pub, then you hook up with the boss, and then we get $1,000. We've got a few cartons up our sleeve tonight.
John in Penrith, give us your story, mate.
Yeah, complete opposite to that, guys. I actually, we went on a yacht for the Christmas party. And when I got him, I hooked up with my boss. And I think the week after, because Christmas party was on a Friday, the next week on the Monday, I ended up getting fired.
Mm.
And this was only 2 weeks ago. So I'm still currently looking for a job now.
Oh no.
Johnny.
What was the boss's name?
Lisa.
Lisa who?
Huh? My wife.
No, don't.
Hang on a minute.
Well, Sarah, this is a tough one.
No, it's not. Mitch with the power spear.
What up, Mitch?
$1,000, Mitch.
Thank you, guys.
You can buy as much champagne as you want, buddy.
Yeah.
Lights, camera, hilarity.
Says countdown is on. Gifts are on the way. It's that time of the year and we are pumped. How many days away are we from Victoria's Secret Fashion Show?
Only a few, but all the angels have flown into Paris. This is the first year it's going to be in Paris. Some of the angels, obviously, including Gigi and Bella Hadid, and obviously everyone's eyes are on Kendall Jenner, and this is obviously because usually her family are front and centre to watch her.
Yeah, of course.
This time, no confirmation on who's going to be there.
Her mum could be there.
Her mum always shows up, and you'd think that she will, and probably Chloe or Courtney, but obviously definitely not Kim, given that she's with Kanye and that it's in Paris. Funny thing is, though, the Angels have been out and about having dinner. Last night, Kendall Jenner out on the street, and guess who her bodyguard was?
Who?
Good old Pascal.
Oh, he's back.
That's right, he's back. So Kim and Kanye have fired him, but he's clearly not left the family.
Was Thorpe, any of Thorpe's angels there?
That red-headed girl from Bardot, who was that?
Yeah.
Katie Underwood.
That's right.
How do you remember that?
I do not know. There's a lot of crap
that,
in my brain.
When was that show on? 1972?
Oh, all right. No, it would have been the 2000s.
Sarah, what about Caitlin?
Yeah, apparently releasing a memoir. And he's going to tell all about the transformation from Bruce to Caitlin. So that's one to pick up for Christmas, Whips. I know you'll want to read.
Stick that in your stocking.
Yep. On Keeping Up with the Kardashians, though, production has officially shut down. So after the siege, it slowed down significantly. But then it was thought that they were filming Kim when she was backstage at Kanye's concert a little while ago. Anyway, production for all of the family has ceased and no word on when it will pick up again. They've just said there's too much going on and Kanye is in too much of a state. Fair and call. That is the family focus.
Let him rest.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
What's Ryan Seacrest had to say? Because he owns it, doesn't he? Can you get an official statement from him, please?
No, well, I can't, but I wouldn't think he'd have too much of a problem with the amount of money he's got.
He'd be a bit funny about it.
How so?
Because we signed a contract. And it means that we follow you with cameras and we produce a show.
I don't think
you would, now, mate. It wasn't my fault you were kidnapped.
The more controversy, unfortunately around the family, is better in the future. So sit back.
And they have enough footage to finish this season, they've said. But as for the next season, which would usually include the holiday Christmas period, you're not going to see any of that, not at this stage. Right. Guys, Beyonce, so she had this fashion line that she did for Topshop, this range of activewear.
Yep.
She's now offering up something that you'll love to get in your Christmas stocking. She's doing T-shirts, sweatpants, and hoodies. Now, do we think she's trying to capitalise on Kanye's absence in this market?
It's not fair, mate.
Might be true, though.
No. He owns the market. He owns the market.
He's not overpriced hoodies.
He's not Topshop, mate.
Since
the first one was Topshop. This is her own. She's now suddenly released her own full line.
Kanye is the number, fashion-wise, he was at Nike. They had an opportunity to keep him, and he went, no, I want a bit more artistic freedom. Mm. And that's why he went to Adidas, and he's turned Adidas around. Adidas, they're closing in on Nike.
Huge.
Yeah.
Because of Kanye. She can't jump on board with that unless he's given her his blessing.
Well, next you'd think she'd have a line at IKEA.
Because who
didn't
went,
he do that?
Who went to Puma? One of them went to Puma, and
Rihanna?
he got
David
really
Beckham?
Kylie Jenner. And remember, he got really angry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And he said she couldn't wear the stuff in family photos and things because they all have user skill.
And Tommy, you're still wearing the upside.
Yes, yeah, still got my upside for men stuff on, which
well
is
done.
Great.
I really like that stuff, Tom. It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's so comfy.
Mm. Finally, guys, Mariah Carey has revealed how she, or her weird diet, basically, that she'd taken on in the lead up to the wedding and how she wanted to lose weight. And now she's said that she's maintaining it. So anyone who wants to lose weight for summer, this is how Mariah does it.
All you eat is Norwegian salmon and capers every day. That's it.
What's the difference between our salmon and Norwegian salmon?
Who the hell would not? Well, where it swims, obviously.
Norwegian salmon.
Wow.
Can you get that from your local IGA?
Honestly, what a boring
life. I reckon on New Year's Eve, she's going to do the countdown, look around, won't kiss anyone, but she'll be glad that 2016's behind her.
Well, no, she'll be kissing that weird backup dancer she's been hanging out with.
It sounds like, it just sounds difficult for her even to say it. Can we hear that again?
All you eat is Norwegian salmon and capers every day. That's it.
She does always sound a bit like she has a slur, doesn't she?
Just double checking things yesterday. I went for an MRI on my lower back. It's just been a bit sore in one spot.
What?
Yeah. You've had a bit of a crook back recently too.
Yeah,
haven't you? What have
as you get older. I've got to
slip disc.
Turn on my core
more. Oh, your abs. Mm. You've been learning how to do that? Because
when I played footy, I had osteitis pubis. Back in the day, Sarah. Now no one gets osteitis pubis. You know why? Because you need to turn on your core more, as everyone should turn on their core.
Yep.
And your back will be fine for the rest of your life. So things like Pilates and yoga and that
of
does
course.
Help you with that stuff.
Mm.
That's why it is beneficial.
And it's to do with like that feeling of stopping yourself doing a wee, isn't it?
Well, yeah. For guys, I got told, because I don't know, I found
floors.
It really confusing on how to turn on your core. and how to get an explanation. But for guys, a physio told me it's that feeling that you get when you finish doing a wee and you sort of want to finish. You know what I mean? So you want to... You want to cut it off,
yeah,
Sarah.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
That's
yeah,
it.
Like they tell sure. girls
that's
to do.
That's turning
it.
On your core.
At the lights, they say. Sorry? If you just make that feeling of trying to stop the flow, that's your pelvic floors.
That yeah, that's turning on your core.
They tell girls to do that yeah. at the lights.
Yeah, and they do. When you're sitting in your car, they often give
so,
that advice.
Okay, sure.
And really, Sarah, you should have your core on all the time. So you've right. got to try to learn to turn your body on and turn your core on all the time.
Are you trying to give me electron posture? Dad did that to me the other day. Mine's kept not pulling good my either. Shoulders back.
Mm. Anyway, I'll go along and I'll... Not a bit funny about those. You know when they put you in the little room and they say, right, take off your clothes, leave your undies on? And undies had a hole in them, so I wasn't rapt about that. And then you had to put in one of those gowns on, those disposable gowns, so I did all that.
You're at a day club. You're at a different type of place. Were you at the doctor's, or do
yeah,
you usually
no,
go to that recovery party
no,
on
no,
a Sunday
no, no,
morning?
No, no, no,
no.
This is
oh,
a
okay.
professional
sorry,
MRI
sorry,
scanning
back to
place.
The doctors.
And great people in yep, there. Yep. A few of them listened to the show, in fact. And I went and did the lie down, and they back you into the machine, and that you've got to put earplugs in because the thing's so loud as it's rotating around your body. And I did all of that. Anyway, came out of the fell asleep for 20 minutes, came out, and then the guy said, hey, look, we love the show. Is there any chance that you could sign the wall? And I said, oh, no, I don't want to sign the wall. This is for sports stars. And I could see Sammy Burgess's name on the wall. And the wall would have had like 200 signatures of great sports stars on there. And he said, oh, no, there's sort of a different celebrity part over here. So I said, oh, if you really want me to, I don't want to ruin your wall. And I said, yeah, I'll go right on your wall for you, mate. And I wrote, love your work, whipper. It was just above Sophie Monk's,
oh, that's,
actually.
That's cute.
She
well
put
done.
Lipstick on and kissed the wall. Anyway. Then I went to get changed, and a girl came over and said, oh, I actually called your show the other day. I just wanted to say hi, nice to meet you. Anyway, then I was getting changed. They draw the curtain across, and I could hear the guy say to the girl, I think her name was Anna, hey, Anna, come and have a look at this. And I thought, I wonder if that's got anything to do with me. And then I thought about what I'd written on the wall, and I'd realised that I'd written your, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, love you, our work.
Aww. What?
Love you are work.
Oh, mate.
So I got out of there, went and said, mate, have you got that pen again? Went back to...
Oh, no. Back.
Well, I had to make the decision of going, will someone look at that and go, oh, that guy doesn't know the difference between your and you are.
And you don't.
I do. Normally, I don't get this one wrong.
But you know what? You should have left it because that just sums you up.
I agree.
That's you.
Angels or angles, guys? Which one? How do I spell it? That's
It's the grammatically challenged guy from the Nova radio station.
If that was a lovable aspect of me, then that would be really great because they would go, oh, that's typical of him.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. And when I told Lisa about it, she said there's a famous scene from Friends where Ross is yelling, there's a difference between the two. So I grabbed the pen and just crossed out the apostrophe and coloured over the E. I know where I should have written.
Oh, that looks even worse.
Yeah, I
though.
Know, because now I've drawn attention to that spelling mistake on the wall where really I should have written in brackets, that bit's a joke or
bring
something.
And they're all in there going, bring back Sophie Monk.
Can we get please. Sophie Monk
get
back
some
there?
Paint and roll
so
over that.
I apologise to the MRI scanning wall. Just another failure on behalf of me.
So when you write you're a loser, needs an apostrophe and an E.
I never write you're a loser. I'm a loser is what I write. Well
How
done.
Did you go in the end though, Whips?
I just got a message from a doctor.
Oh no.
Tell me if you think this feels a bit serious to put via text.
Okay.
Message from Shane Woods.
Woods E. Good
man,
good
Shane.
Doctor too.
Great. Tommy goes to Shane Woods.
Yeah, good doctor.
Bloody good bloke.
You guys share doctors?
Yeah, we do.
That's weird.
Together.
Oh, what?
Can I get a drum roll, mate?
Oh.
No, we got a drone. Stick with it. Oh, gosh.
Mild arthritis in lower back. No disc disease.
Just another reason not to exercise, yeah?
Well, man, what do you mean mild arthritis? That's too serious to put on text, isn't
you
it?
You don't do any physical work.
That's why he has arthritis. It's packed it in.
Yeah,
it's quit. My back's keeping
he
up.
He said, don't worry, you're not going to use me. I'll just pack it up.
You don't run? You don't run?
Because of my hip.
You don't cycle? You don't do any physical activity? How can you have mild arthritis?
Lot of years of playing sport.
Three.
Labouring. Did a lot of labouring.
One year of labouring.
Picking up kids.
Ted's not even two.
They're heavy.
Tommy might be right. Sam might be right. Because you're not doing any work at all, your back's packing up. And it's like,
I do martial arts, mate. I do Arakan.
You've done two lessons.
I've got one today at 2:15.
New movie coming out January 1, and if you are a big fan of the computer game or the video game Assassin's Creed, this movie is unbelievable. Now, it's directed by an Aussie guy as well, Justin Kurzel, who also worked with Michael Fassbender on Hamlet, and you also might know him. He also did the movie Snowtown, which was a bit full on as well, but this movie... Hollywood, lot of production, mate. It is unbelievable. And I got to sit down with Michael Fassbender yesterday. Here's my chat. Congratulations on the movie.
Thank you.
Absolutely loved it. And I love my action movies and your character, obviously. I just feel like he's a character that always gets out of any situation. A lot of jumping off buildings, a lot of punching people in the face.
That's right.
Michael, do you, in those situations now, would you be confident if four or five guys came at you in a dark alley that you could get out of that?
Totally.
Now?
No problem.
Did you ever graze any of the actors in the face when you were doing those fight scenes?
I try my best too. So a lot of the times they spend their time trying to, you know, avoid hitting me. That's why they look so scared, genuine.
Yeah.
It's the Steven Seagal school of
It's great.
Action movie.
Can we talk about your director as well, Justin Kurzel, who is a great Australian director, and you guys have done Macbeth with him as well. Have you guys seen Snowtown, one of his movies, Snowtown?
Yeah. Well, that's how I sort of got introduced to Justin. I went to see to the cinema, saw Snowtown, and we were sort of, at the time, I was talking to Ian Canning from Seesaw Films about doing Macbeth, and was like, wow, I've just seen this movie, we should meet this guy, and then we all got together, and thankfully... Macbeth worked out with Justin because he's phenomenal talent. Mm-hmm. I knew that from Snowtown Murders. I was like, why haven't I heard more about this movie?
Well, it's going to freak you out, but that's where I'm from.
Adelaide. We've been talking about Adelaide all morning.
There you go. Yeah. So
all roads lead to Adelaide.
Marianne's looking at me very, very...
And
when you talk about Australia, when you come to Australia and you hear about our great serial killers and sharks and stuff like, does that freak you out when you come to our great country?
Spiders?
You know, there are crazy people all around the world.
Yes.
So...
And you've been
last time I was here, there was a builder got bit on the penis by a spider.
That's right.
The same guy got bitten twice?
Twice, he got done again.
That is crazy.
Because an outside toilet here is called an outside dunny. And he went to the toilet, Marianne, and he was obviously...
But what happened?
Was it a redback spider, I think it was, which is one of the dangerous in the world?
That's right, yeah. It's right on the knob.
He's fine.
What about the size of where he was bitten?
Well, that's the thing. I think.
Do you think it helped?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Swelling is a good thing. There's always a silver lining.
Well, it finally went down, and then he got bitten again.
That's the nuts part.
Well, he's very popular with the ladies now. Well, you can take. That's a good story to take home now.
My friends will fly there immediately.
You've got to see this guy. Michael, you've already got a couple of... Have you already got a couple of action figures that you've had in movies already? I'm trying to change.
Thinking of the before and after picture. But have I got some action figures?
Yes, well, you have with X-Men, Prometheus.
Oh, right, yeah. Assassin's... I thought you meant, do I have some at home that I play with? I was just trying to remember which ones I have. I was like, well, there's Big Jim, there's Ken, of course. He's a classic.
But you will now with Assassin's Creed. Marianne, is this your first time that you'll have your own action figure or your own doll? Will you get one?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, see, that's something good to show the kids, though, isn't it?
I don't know. Wow.
No? Yeah. Have you got yours at home? Have you got your own at home?
No, I haven't. But I was happy. A friend of mine sent me a picture from Brazil, actually, of a David... from Prometheus action figure. So that was pretty cool to see.
Was it pretty lifelike? Are you happy with it?
I'm happy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously you use a lot of weapons in this movie, right. But Marianne, I also heard as well that you, the weapons that you like to use in your own personal life is musical instruments. You know quite a few, is that correct?
No, I mean, if I work hard, I can manage to play music, yeah. But I don't practice enough to.
What about yourself, Michael? Do you know?
You've a triangle.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
It's triangle. Super hard. No, this is super hard.
Why is it hard?
And it's not...
Don't you hit it from the outside?
Of course it's hard. I mean, I play it. No, it's not easy.
Well, guys, loved Assassin's Creed. This has been a great chat.
Thank you.
Talking about Snowtown, serial killers and spiders. But I thank you very much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Michael Fassbender and Marianne Cotillard there. I forgot to introduce her at the start, but Assassin's Creed is out January 1st. You can go check it out there. And also that interview on our Facebook page.
He should say what's better. Whipper looks fat in that sweater. Write a letter to the editor.
Another Hi, big editor. Week of feedback. Send us what you think of the show. Tweet us at Fitzy and Whipper or visit the Facebook page.
Did you want to jump in at all, mate?
With what?
I thought you had something to snap back at Sarah about.
No, let Sarah go first, okay. Mate. This is all planned out.
I know so how much I stuff up.
You throw the first punch, sir. Go for it.
Okay, fine. Scott wrote on Facebook, anyone else notice that Whipper keeps telling callers how much he loves them recently?
Thanks, Monica. Love you.
Love you.
No
love
worries. You. We love you. Okay.
I love you, Ange.
I love you, Gavin.
Oh, quite nice.
Lucky Gavin. We're
That's when
up
you're not
coffee.
Getting any love at home.
No, it's called sharing the love, mate.
You are a little bit sherry lately, though, with that stuff. Like, what? Really sherry.
I love you.
Yeah, and you, no, I'm, you I'm saying touch it to you now. A lot. You do a lot of cuddles. And
I love it when you sit okay on my home? Knee, Sarah.
I haven't sat on your knee yeah. in years.
Remember that? Remember the back rubs I used to get from Sarah?
These two. What happened there? These guys are like a married couple.
Sarah and I.
Dysfunctional.
There's
marriage.
Massages. There's sitting on each other's laps. There's arguments. There, I hate you. I love you.
I would
there's
describe
plenty
it as
going on.
Sexual tension.
Would you? Like you're sexual and I've got tension.
Yeah, well done, Sarah. Good
yeah, no, that's really good gear.
Thanks. Fitzy, Matt has tweeted, you've got to listen back to Fitzy back announcing Bruno Mars's new song. He does the same gag every time.
Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars there, 24 karat magic.
That's well, that's Bruno his Mazos. Actual name.
No, it's yep, not.
In Spanish.
Do you mean?
Well, no, you know what, Sarah? I'm sick of this. I'm totally sick of it. Why don't we pick you up? Because I've been noticing something that you've been doing in your entertainment stories every morning, a particular word. See if you guys can pick it up.
Apparently, 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 so.
You're suggesting everything you're saying is crap. Yeah.
Are you suggesting that I should be giving really hard facts yeah. about gossip stories?
The fact is, change apparently for fact. The
if
fact is.
If I don't put an apparently on it, what if I get sued don't for all, know, the, all the rubbish I throw out of my mouth in that 5 minutes?
You are of this time?
What?
The new idea.
Apparently, 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 so.
Well done, Frozen. Got her a beauty. She won't come back for that, mate. There's no way she's coming back from that.
Yeah, apparently.
That's a knockout.
It's the last letters to the editor for the year. Obviously, the show wraps up on Friday, so I thought we could look back at some of your best stuff-up moments from 2016.
Carly in Riverwood, hello.
Hey, mate.
Sorry, Carly.
Coldplay, Cox. Oh, God. No.
Hang on a minute.
No,
they
I didn't.
Are not, mate.
$100.
I'm going to double it
yep.
to $250.
In 2014, what were you done?
And you know what? I should have let him win.
Do you know what fake is here?
Is it dolphin?
Dolphin. Hang on, mate.
Tom, don't look under the desk.
Tom.
So
cord on. I was just checking.
Justin Bieber, world tourist.
I felt like Usher Ginsburg.
And Nickelback.
What's going on with this crown craze?
10 golden rules for a happy marriage.
And all doctors recommend rectum.
Magnificent day to Today.
A rubbish heiress. A rubbish heiress. This grown man drives a rubbish heiress. A rubbish heiress. A rubbish heiress. This grown man drives a rubbish Toyota Yaris car. He tries to...
That's so rude.
Do you know what? I can't believe. I feel like we've got to the end of the year and we've been given our highlight of the year, which was Robbie Shiraz.
Robbie Shiraz. Every photo now, someone will just hashtag Robbie Shiraz.
Can we have a look if there is a Robbie Shiraz on Facebook? Mm-hmm. We'll try to track him down. Well done, Sam.
He wants
well
to be left alone. No, well done, you guys. What a great year of stuff up.
Well, it's an A for effort, mate. Yeah. You can't ask any more.
And you can tell us what you love or hate about the show. Tweet us at Fitzy and Whipper or visit the Facebook page.
Can you fire up a bit of sexy music, Jay? Let's get into this here. This is a guy by the name of Luke. Great story. Recounts hooking up with a flight attendant. God, we've all dreamed about it, haven't we? Luke was on a budget flight from Melbourne to Sydney. As he got on the plane, he made eyes with the flight attendant. She happened to be doing the safety briefing, and he just stared at her. If you're having eyes with somebody doing the safety briefing, at that stage, you're not in, because they try and get your eye contact to make sure that the
I'm
safety
pretty good
messages.
At the safety briefing. I've actually, there's been a couple of girls that have faltered and stopped halfway through and don't know where to go next.
Yep.
And I've picked them up because I sit in the emergency exit row every time.
And what do you do?
This is the emergency exit. So in case of an emergency, you people are sitting here because you need to help us and assist us.
Yep.
Just in case there is an emergency, which is highly unlikely.
Yeah, sure.
But when you hear the words evacuate, 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 you need to check outside to see if there's any obstruction, water, fire.
Oh, wow, you are good.
Yep, and then if you aren't, you've got to take the cover off there, pull the red handle down, the door will flip in, and then it will go out, and you need to walk way out, and you need to help people out onto the wing, and you make your way down.
Okay.
I know the briefing inside out.
When the gas masks fall, the oxygen masks, what do you do first if you're with a minor?
Well, you got to set them up first.
No, you secure yours first before you do any people you're traveling with.
I'm saving the kids first, mate.
Well, if you're gone, you can't. You need to put your own on first. Let's get back to Luke. Okay. This is exciting because he was there and they've done the briefing. They're in the air and he was reading a book, Arndo's autobiography, which is some good detail for the story. She came over and asked about the book and there was some cheeky flirting. At the end of the flight, one flight attendant stood in front of him so he couldn't move and couldn't get off the plane. That flight attendant, not the one, then directed him to another door where he was to exit. She stood by that door and smiled, shook his hand and said, "A little treat for you on the way out." And in her hand as she passed to him was a chocolate bar. He thought, "Great, I love chockies." Then he turned it over as he was walking off from the plane, and down written was her name and her number.
Wow.
They got in contact. They went skiing for a weekend.
Oh, who goes skiing on the first date?
It's not
very
bad.
Very full on, isn't it? Like a lot of activity.
It's like going for a swim on your first date. People do that. See if you're going to get your rig out on the first date.
Yeah,
I
fair
would never
call
get
you.
A girl over the line if I took her swimming on the
well,
first date.
Well, you haven't
date.
Got your rig out and you've been married for about 5 years.
Anyway, he continues to fly this budget airline because he thinks it's a great place to pick up. Here's a topic I'd love to do. What did you buy just because the shop assistant was attractive? People fall into this, mate, all the time.
No, men fall into this all the time.
Yeah, women would too,
Sarah. No, sorry.
A mate of mine had no money. Like, he was broke and he was busted, but he would scrounge around for every cent he had to go into this store, and the stuff he was buying was horrendous. He bought the ugliest lamp I've ever seen from this lady just because he wanted to go back in there, continue to talk. "Hey, what new stock have you got? Let's have a look around." "Yeah, I'm just digging the place out." So he could just see her.
I've got some mates who used to go to a coffee store every morning, totally out of their way.
Yep.
Coffee was terrible, but the girl that worked there was hot.
Well, yeah, well, there's a couple of guys that do it here, don't they? Just up the road here in Pyrmont. We've got
Josiah.
Two cafes downstairs, Josiah. Two cafes downstairs, and you boys go for a half-hour walk.
Which one are you talking about?
It's worth every second, and Whipper, you're guilty of coming.
Which one's that?
Yeah, Whipper's been there
I don't even know what cafe
times.
You're talking about.
Don't just play dumb.
The road here.
Normally they're at 9:01.
straight out the door.
All right, 13:24:10. Give us a call right now. What did you buy? What did you get sucked into and you spent your money just because the shop assistant was hot? Ali in Richmond, tell us about your story.
I had a workmate who went on a lunch on his lunch break, And then he came back and we asked what he did on his lunch break. Mm. And it turns out he sponsored a child because the UNICEF worker was really hot.
That's how they suck you in.
Yeah, and then he came back and he cancelled the subscription once he got her number.
Oh, that's not fair.
See, come on, $1 a day or something.
Shame, shame.
Yeah, see, you've also got to, because there is a company, I think there's a company that hires these good-looking people to actually get your money for these charities, but then they get a permission or a commission of the charity, the money that they make from that.
Yeah, sure.
So makes sense, though.
It does, doesn't it?
Thanks, Ali. Karen, hello.
Hello,
what
how are you?
What did you buy, Kaz?
We bought Foxtel.
Oh, what was it a good looking guy, Karen?
It was Max from E Street. He knocked on the door and was selling us Foxtel, and I was so in love with him as a teenager. My husband got him in the house and pulled out the photos I had taken with him and everything.
Are you serious? Max from E Street, was that Bruce Samazan?
It was Bruce Samazan, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is he still in good nick? Does he still look gorgeous, Karen?
Oh, yeah. Yep, very much so.
Wasn't he in one of the underbellies, Karen?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched all of them. But
wow. I mean, when
maybe
you...
I should go back.
Yeah, when a guy that you're in love with when you're a teenager knocks on your door to buy some Foxtel, I'd get sucked in as well.
I didn't know they were getting old TV stars to knock on doors.
Well, he's obviously... It's a Gee job whiz. Of his.
Well done.
As a salesman going around, so he'd be very effective.
You think he's a salesman or you think he's there as an ambassador? As
no,
I would have thought he'd be like in a celebrity role.
No, because Chris Hemsworth's doing the ads at the moment. I don't think he's going around knocking on doors.
That would be a different level of ambassadorship.
Yep. Chloe in Castle Hill, is this how you met your husband?
It is. I used to work in a clothing store and he was on a working holiday visa and completely broke. And he came in and just bought all this stuff that he couldn't afford.
Oh, because you guys were flirting, you kicked it off.
Yep.
And did you feel sorry for him, Chloe, and then gave him another date?
No, well, he came in so many times and then I eventually, you know, he finally asked me out and now we're married and have a baby.
That's a great story, Chloe. So there was that moment where he went, you know what, I'm not here to buy anything. I'm here to ask you out. I'll stop spending money.
No, he came back in and he bought more stuff and then he walked out and he came back into the shop. And practically, like, yelled at me and asked me out, and he was so nervous.
Yeah. What store was it to, Chloe? Politics, or what was it?
I'm embarrassed. Tarot Cash.
Oh, Tarot! Oh, I love Tarot! That's great.
That's great, Chloe.
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic? Unfortunately, he'd spent all his money, so by the time they were out on a date, he couldn't afford the meal. That was a tough one.
That's poor bugger had to keep coming back to buy shirts as well from Tarot Cash. Another purple shirt. Man's
another white tie.
What a voice. Great song. Guy Sebastian, they're set in stone. It's from the new EP Part 1, which is out Friday.
Love that song.
He put up a bit of a track listing on Instagram last night. It looks magnificent. Guy Sebastian, welcome. And that was set on Cronulla, but you did the film clip on Cronulla Beach, is that correct?
Yeah, or just behind it at the sand dunes.
In the dunes.
Yeah.
Where you can drive down onto the beach?
Yeah.
We took the kids there.
I don't know if
there.
You can drive down where the
dunes boat harbour. The boat harbour, yeah, where you can go down there. So
yeah. They call it what do they call it? My mate does it. You wouldn't guess it. He's a big fella. He says he does the sand dunes all the time.
Oh,
he runs up them.
Do you mean Timbo?
I mean Timbo.
Timbo's fat.
Well, he's
you know what Timbo's problem is? Mm. Is it because of the tequila session? He's always wearing a shirt which is far too small for
always,
him. So that's
always.
Why he looks big. Yeah, that's his issue.
Living in the glory days all the time.
Mate, when you put an album out Part 1, right? Uh-huh. Does that mean it's like a movie where you don't know whether the person's dead? And you go, well, I'll stick around for the sequel.
Yeah, or just that you couldn't finish your album in time, so you split it up in two parts.
Christmas was coming.
Yeah, got to get it out during the rush.
Stocking filler.
Yeah. Oh, we're just glad that you're in a good mood at the moment. We're a little bit nervous when you were coming in this morning because we did stitch you up.
Last time,
we had a driver come and pick you up last time. It was a mate of ours, Muhammad. He's a big boy as well. He's got a menacing moustache at the moment for Movember.
Oh, wow.
But here was a bit of what happened. Whipper was in Muhammad's ear. Guy had no idea. He thought that Muhammad was his driver, and this is what was happening.
Hey, Muhammad, right. Sing that Queen song.
Thunderbolts of lightning, very, very frightening. Galileo! Galileo!
What do you think?
I think it's good.
Muhammad, wind down your window and yell out, Guy Sebastian just said I'm through to the next round.
Guy Sebastian said I'm through to the next round.
Yeah, you know the thing, I said to him, why don't you sing, Muhammad, why don't you sing a Lebanese song? And he went, nah, I'll sing that one I always do at karaoke, Bapsody Rhapsody.
Yeah. And that was no joke, he thought it was
called Bapsody Rhapsody.
Yeah. Are you gearing up for Christmas? What's the go? What's the family doing, the Sebastian family?
We're just heading down the coast, actually. So all the family's flying up to Sydney, and then we're just surfing, eating, and hanging out. I need a break. I've been going...
Flat knackers.
Yeah.
When you write a song like Set in Stone, and it's about Jules, right?
Yeah.
Your beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And do you still then need to buy her a Christmas present? Or can you go, I've
just released a single.
I've just written you a song.
No, she thinks the song is a cop-out, really.
Because it's easy to do.
And because I get paid for it. Yeah. So she goes, you can't give me a present you get paid for.
Yeah,
so.
You should. That's not bad. That's
she
not
should get bad. A cut of the royalties.
Exactly, that's right.
I'm sure.
Now, she does love that song, though, but her favourite was Candle.
Yeah, great.
Always, yeah. When I played her that, she literally said, my favourite song you've ever written, Candle.
Wow.
No one played it. It was a big flop. It doesn't matter.
No,
it was a good song. It was a great song. Look, we'll get her a candle for Christmas, mate.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Here we go.
Hey.
It's great. So you can get her a candle, mate, and you know you've had a win.
Hey, that's a good one, actually.
A Koya.
That's not bad.
Get one of those candles.
What's the worst present that you received when you were a kid growing up, Guy? Do you remember some of the shockers that you received?
Yeah, I mean, I always used to get money from my grandma.
Right.
So she always used to put a fiver in an envelope.
Yeah.
And then things started to go downhill for poor old grandma. And started to get less and less.
$2.
Yeah. Coins started to appear.
You know, we thought we'd do to celebrate Christmas, Guy. A bit of an idea.
Yep.
Dial a carol with Guy Sebastian.
Dial a carol.
Yeah.
Dial a carol.
Good jingle.
Thanks, guys.
But see, we want to get through it pretty quick. So this is sort of like a hotline where we get people to ring in 13, 24, 10. If you've got a request for any Christmas carol, your favourite Christmas carol, and Guy just has to reel it off. But
done.
Can we give you like maybe 5-6 seconds?
Yeah, instead of going, sure. I mean, door to door, I mean, that was your traditional carol, but with the power of radio, why don't you just call up and tell us what you want Guy to sing? So let's go to Maddie in Monavale. Welcome to the show. What's your request?
Hi, guys. I'd love for Guy to sing Jingle Bell Rock for me.
Jingle Bell. All right.
All right. Here we go. Dial a carol. Right. Kick it away.
Got Sebastian.
Oh, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle bells chime in Jingle Bell time.
Yeah.
Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
Let's go to Bianca in the Blue Mountains. What's your request, Bianca?
Hi, guys. P.S. I love you. Winter Wonderland, please.
What was that one?
Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Oh, yeah.
All right. Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening.
That's nice.
A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Oh, well, there you go, Bianca.
Thank you.
Sammy in Paddington, what's your request, Sam?
Hi, Guy. Love your new song.
Thanks, Doug.
I would like Ache Breaky Heart, please.
Achy breaky heart.
That's all.
Don't you break my heart, my achy breaky heart. I won't
understand. It's Dollar Carol.
You break my heart.
I don't know where achy breaky heart came into it.
Achy breaky heart is for all seasons.
For all seasons. So, Iggy Azalea has given us a call. Go ahead, Iggy.
No. Block.
We've got Danuta from Wattle Grove. What's your request, Danuta?
To declare your love to James Packer and sing me All I Want for Christmas is You.
Oh, Mariah's song.
Oh, yes. Ooh, is that over? It's all over now.
It's getting bitter
getting
now.
Ugly, yeah.
It is getting ugly.
Really
ugly.
She should get 20 or 30 mil. No, she's wanting 50 mil, isn't she?
Well,
fingers
Sarah,
crossed.
Can you just give Guy the statistic that you found out from this song?
So this song, from this song alone, she has made over $50 million in royalties over the years.
Wow.
It is one of the highest selling singles of all time.
Wow. And it keeps, like, every
just
Christmas.
Keeps
I need to do a Christmas song. I need to write a Christmas song.
Set in stone, I'll do those
numbers. You and Bublé. Hook up with boob light.
Honestly. Yeah. All right, here we go. I don't want a lot for Christmas. Yeah. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. James Packer, can you give me some cash?
Wow. All on 50 the new mil album.
Will do.
Oh. All on part one, yeah? All yeah. those songs.
All of those, yes.
Well, that's part two, isn't
that's
it?
Right.
The new EP, part one, is out Friday. You just heard Set in Stone before. Always a pleasure to get you in, mate. Thank you very much,
Legend, John. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Fitzy and Whipper.